It's the one thing we can't live without. The deepest part of our souls cry out for it. Hope. Hope that it will all be okay. Hope that someone is standing in our corner for us. With us. And of all the places you could be in this exact moment, we want you to know this truth. Hope is here. Not a false hope that makes untrue promises. Not a guarantee of an outcome invented by any man or woman. Not a fantasy or an illusion or a make-believe invention, but a real, lasting hope. Hope that God is still good. Hope that He's really holding it all together. Hope that God has not turned His face away from any person or any situation. Hope that God is more intimately involved in our lives than we can ever know. Hope is here. Experience Easter at Agape House. Experience hope. Join us for our Passover celebration on Wednesday, April 9th and April 16th from 6:30 through 8:30 p.m. Our Palm Sunday weekend on April 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. and on April 13th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Good Friday Holy Communion service, April 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Easter weekend, April 19th and 20th, we will hold four services. On Saturday, service will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our three Sunday services will hold at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Agape House New Testament Church, located at Agape Land in East Ligon near ANC Square.
Yusef was so excited, he went running through the streets crying to everyone, "I met God's wife! I met God's wife!" He burst into the little room where he stayed with his mother and his siblings. "Mom, Mom, I met God's wife!" Yusef's mother looked at him and said, "What are you talking about, you met God's wife?" Yusef's mother didn't know much about God, but she wasn't sure that God even had a wife. And if God had a wife, she certainly wouldn't come to this dusty, old, dirty, poor city. And if she came, she would have nothing to do with her poor little son. But then Yusef's mother looked at her boy carefully. She saw that his face was glowing. He was wearing a new shirt and new trousers and new shoes. He was carrying a sack of provision. So she said, "Tell me what happened." Little Yusef sat down to explain. He had been out that day, like he was every day, to beg on the street corner. But today he was so hungry and tired, he had not eaten since yesterday. So he left the street corner to wander through the market, hoping to find some discarded food on the ground that he could pick and fill his belly. was then as he wandered through the market that suddenly a woman appeared. Her face was so sweet and gentle. She was dressed so smart and beautifully. And she put her hand on Yusuf's shoulder and said, "My dear, what are you looking for?" It was then, without knowing what was happening, she took him to a food stall and bought him food, and he ate and ate and ate. And then she took him to a store and bought him a new shirt and a new trouser and new shoes. And then she bought provisions and packed them in a Gone Must Go bag and gave it to him. And then she said, "My son, may the Lord bless you." The words were ringing in Yusuf's ears. And something was burning in his heart. His face was glowing. He said, "Mom, that's what happened." Yusuf's mom looked at his face and saw a brightness. She saw the clothes and the provision. And she said, "Well, maybe you did meet God's wife." What do you think? Did Yusuf meet God's wife? Or was it an angel from heaven come to help him? Or perhaps was it simply a disciple of Jesus doing what disciples do, following the example of Christ and showing love to others? But you see, friends, the fact is, when you love with pure love the way God loves, people will automatically associate you with Jesus Christ. When you love with pure love the way God does, people around you can only come to one conclusion. Somehow, you must be connected or related to God. And that's the powerful truth we're going to discover this morning in our sermon, titled, "I Love." We're going to see that love is part of the DNA or the fingerprint of every disciple. As we follow Jesus and display his love to the world, we will show him to others. And when we do, it will have a powerful impact on our world like nothing else. Would you like to find out how you can experience this transformational kind of love? Well, that's the purpose of our sermon this morning. But first, before we go any further, let's ask God to reveal the truth to us. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for bringing us into your presence, a presence of pure love. We could sing of your love forever. It's an amazing love that knows no limit and never fails. This morning, I ask that you would wrap your arms around us and pour your truth into us, that we would experience your love personally, but understand also today that you've given it to us to be shared with others. Let us become a part of the never-ending circle of love from you to us and from us to others, so that love might go back to you. For we know that we first love you because you first loved us. I submit everyone to your hands now. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of the living God to move in us today, that your name would be glorified, that we'll be challenged and convicted and changed so that others might be blessed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to invite you this morning to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name, amen." Well, hi everybody, hope you're doing well. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. If you're here for the first or second time, I extend a special welcome to you. Or if you've been absent from Agape House for a few months, we're glad to see you back in church. I know we've got some of our students who are just returning to UG, UPSA, and other campuses, and those might have been away for a while. We're glad to see you back. You came to Agape House on a good Sunday. You see, right now we're in the middle of a sermon series called I Am a Disciple. We're learning what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to become his disciple. Now, if you missed some of those early messages, you might be surprised by the statement you just heard me say, because you might be thinking that a disciple is someone who followed Jesus when he lived on earth. You might automatically think of Peter or James or John or Andrew, and you say, those people have dead and gone. Those are special people, but I'm just an ordinary Christian. But the good news for all of us is that as we look at the words of Jesus, Jesus, we've been discovering that the invitation and even the command to be a disciple goes to everyone. Anyone who believes in Jesus is called to be a disciple. You see, disciples aren't special people with some unique calling or unique anointing like the apostles. In fact, the Bible says anyone who wants to have Jesus in their life is called to be a disciple. So if you want Jesus, you're called to be his disciple. Just tell your neighbor, I am a disciple. And the good news is it doesn't take special training. It doesn't require special talents or abilities or skills. All that is required to be a disciple is to follow Jesus. Being a disciple is a choice you make, a choice to obey him and walk where he walked and do what he did. But like any choice we make, there are consequences to this very decision. First of all, there's a good consequence. When you follow Jesus, you enjoy all the blessings and the rewards of those who are his disciples. You get to know him and his love and to experience his power. But also, not only that, it means that you have to do what Jesus did. That's why today's topic is so important. For you see, if there was one word we could use to describe Jesus, it would probably be the word love. And if we're going to follow Jesus the way we're supposed to, we also have to love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So if in fact following Jesus means doing what he did, then obviously following Jesus means we have to be people who love like he loved. In fact, that's exactly what our scripture text for today tells us. The scripture text is found at the top of your sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin and they look like this. And I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover the DNA of a disciple. And there at the top of your notes and on the screen behind me is our text for today, found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I'd like to invite all of you to read it together with me. Read it out loud. Help me preach today. Are you ready? John 13. 13, 34 and 35. Here we go. Ready, go. Jesus said, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Let's take that last sentence and read it again out loud. Are you ready? Here we go. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take a moment and take these words from Jesus Christ and break them down so that we can understand this morning the DNA of a disciple. And here's our first truth on your notes. It's this: love is the evidence of a disciple. If you would, just take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words love and evidence. Love is the evidence of a disciple. Listen again to Jesus' words in verse 35. Your love for one another will prove, or we could say would be the proof of, or the evidence of, that you are my disciples. And in all honesty, friend, it's simple. What God is saying to us is that love is essential. Love is part of the DNA of a disciple. It's how the world will know that we are truly his disciples. It's the fact or the evidence. Other statements about Christ, about discipleship from Christ, show us the how and the why and the what of being a disciple. But this one shows us the proof. We're known by our love. If there was an examination for discipleship, love would be the only answer. If you were on trial for being a disciple, loving others would be the only proof needed to convict you. If the church were a members-only club and they asked you at the gate for an identification card that would allow you in, then love of other disciples would be the only pass that would get you entrance inside. That's why the Apostle John wrote in his epistle, 1 John 4:7 and 8, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God, is a child of God, and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Simply put, if you love, you're a child of God. If you don't love, you don't know God. And the problem we have in the church today is we have ignored this vital evidence and shifted it to other things. We've turned things upside down. Today we value the miraculous and the supernatural more than we value love. We believe today in the church that the evidence of a great man of God is his anointing or his ability to heal or to prophesy. And I say thank God for healing. Thank God for prophetic. I believe in the miraculous and the supernatural, and I want more of it in my life. But the prophetic, the healing, the supernatural, and the deliverance are not the things that determine whether or not you are a true follower of God. You can prophesy and perform miracles and cast out devils and raise the dead and see all kinds of visions, but those things do not give evidence that God is with you. The evidence that God is with you and you are with God is nothing other than love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." And there are a lot of clanging cymbals and resounding gongs in the church in Ghana today. Don't you know that the Bible says there are false prophets and false pastors and false teachers and false brethren and even false churches? They look like the real thing. They move in prophetic and supernatural power, but they lack love. And without love, they are nothing. For love cannot be counterfeited. The gifts can be counterfeited. The prophetic can be counterfeited. The devil can use his magic and cause certain supernatural things to occur, but love cannot be counterfeited. A wicked, selfish heart cannot produce love. Let me tell you something this morning, my friend. If you love someone, you will not charge them money to receive what Jesus died to freely give. If you love someone, you will not tell them to give their life savings to buy some anointing oil that has been jacked up at an inflated price. If you love someone, you will not ask them to go and sell their wrappers or their jewelry so that they can come and buy some holy water that you've prayed over. If you love someone, when that person is desperate, when that person is crying out to God, when that person is in need and in agony, you will not deceive such a person into some type of manipulation to get money from them to line your pockets. Any so-called man of God who charges money to heal, or who charges money for deliverance, or who charges money to see a vision or bring you a prophecy is not doing the will of God. How can someone who's desperate, how can someone who's broken, how can someone who's hurting in need of a miracle for healing, for their baby, for their husband's deliverance, how can such a person come to a man of God and you say, well, depending on the offering you bring, it will depend upon the investment I make in your solution. When Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. Here at Agape House, we will never put a price tag on our ministry because this ministry is not for sale. We will pray for you and minister to you by the grace of God, whether you're rich or poor, Indian, Chinese, Ghanaian or Nigerian, black or white, tall or small, ugly or beautiful, we'll pray for you. Especially for the ugly, God help you. No charge. Tell your neighbor, no charge. But today in the church, we have prophets for profit. Today we have so-called men of God whose motive is only money. In fact, the bigger the offering you give, the more the anointing seems to come upon them. If you bring them 5 Ghana cedis, they'll wave their hand and say, breakthrough, breakthrough. If you bring 50 Ghana cedis, they might actually lay their hand upon you and say, God bless him and touch him. If you bring 500, they will anoint you with oil and prophesy over you. But if you bring 5,000, oh my, They will see three visions, have an angelic visitation. They will fast and pray, and they will take their time to tell you what they've seen. We value the supernatural so much, and we value love so little. We think the supernatural is a sign that God is moving, but the supernatural is not a sign that God is moving. Love is the sign that God is moving. And we make the same mistake, not only with men of God, but with our own lives as well. We value certain outward signs of religion and devotion while we disvalue love for one another. Today, for example, we count church attendance as the badge of discipleship rather than loving one another. Now, don't misunderstand me. You ought to come to church. You ought to come to this church. You ought to come on time. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. I'm a pastor. I want you. Come to church and come on time. Be committed. Be a member of a local gathering of believers. But all too often, we have substituted church attendance with discipleship when Jesus says nothing about attending church. Hey, there's no passage in the Bible that says coming to church makes you a disciple. But Jesus said plainly that love is the evidence of being a disciple. It's not baptism, not paying your tithe, not saying prayers or speaking in tongues. It's love. And here at Agape House, our motto is glorifying God and transforming lives. We want to change you. We welcome you, and we welcome you to change. We want to take church attenders and make them members. We want to take believers and make them disciples. And we want to turn lines into circles. You say, Reverend, what do you mean by turning lines into circles? When we come to church like this, we sit in lines and everybody faces forward. And that's a good place to start. You need to come into church and sit in lines and face forward to receive from the man of God. When Jesus first gathered crowds, he gathered them and organized them in lines facing forward. But that's only the starting point. From the lines facing forward, God wants us to grow and develop into circles facing one another. He wants to take us from gathering together in an auditorium and make us a community of circles. For in a circle, we face one another. In a circle, we receive from one another and we give to one another. In a circle, we share and experience community and life together. And in a circle, we are stronger. In a circle, we are better. In a circle, we are bolder. For a circle cannot be broken. Lines can be broken. Lines can fall apart. Someone can be removed from a line, and you won't know the chair next to you is empty. But a circle cannot be broken. It's a chain of love. So let me ask you this morning, are you in a line or in a circle? Is your Christian life only about attending programs where you come and sit in a line and receive something and go? Or is your Christian life come to the point where you are in a circle of life and love and community, where you face others for accountability, for help, for support and encouragement? For the command, the truth is, we are commanded to love one another. We're commanded to do this, to be a disciple. You cannot be a disciple unless you're in a small circle of love. For the measure of our faith is not the miraculous. The measure of our faith is not the answers to our prayer. The measure of our faith and what marks us as His is that we walk in love. He's commanded us to love one another. That's the truth we find in 1 John 4, 20 to 21. Listen carefully to God's word to you this morning. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Tell your neighbor, no, don't do that. It's okay. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. And friends, we have to come to the conviction this morning that our love for God is no greater than our love for our fellow disciples. If we truly love Jesus, we will love the people Jesus loves. If we truly love Jesus, we cannot hate people who are part of his body. Romans chapter 12 makes it clear Jesus has a body. And it's made up of you and I and other disciples. Jesus' body is made up of many parts, and we belong to it and to one another. So when we hurt one another, we hurt the body of our Lord Jesus. We hurt Jesus' body when we gossip. We hurt Jesus' body when we lie to one another. We hurt Jesus' body when we cheat one another. We hurt Jesus' body when we ignore those in pain around us and walk away as if it doesn't affect us. And many of us are guilty of actually attacking Jesus today. We're guilty of persecuting Jesus. We hear a rumor about another church or a pastor or a Christian, and we just begin to pass it along. We hear some story or read something in the paper or listen to it on radio or see it on Facebook, and the next thing you know, we're joining the chorus of the condemners. We throw our stones and clack our tongues. Oh, did you hear about Pastor so-and-so? Did you hear about that sister in that church? And we never even bother to find out if it's true. Don't you know that one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor?
Do you love others the way Jesus loves them? Does your life show any evidence that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, friends, if we are truly following Jesus, then we will live the way he lived. We will love the way he loved. It will become obvious to the world that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, because of our love for one another. Friends, it's impossible to experience this love unless you first receive this type of love from Jesus in your own life. You have to open up your heart and invite Christ into your life so that you can experience his love. He can wash away your sins and make you born again. But you see, when you have Jesus in your heart, then and only then can his love begin to flow out from you to others. So why not open up your heart to Jesus and invite him to come in with his love and forgiveness? As you've heard this message today about being a disciple of Jesus and loving others as he loved them, I want to invite you also to take the next step and make his love a reality in your heart. Would you pray with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you would come and touch each and every one of us. Lord, right in our hearts, touch us today, that we might be changed and transformed by your love. Let us know and experience your love and forgiveness in our hearts today so that we can share that love with others. For I know, Lord, we can't give to anyone else what we have not yet received. And so flood us and fill us with your love today, that we might be instruments to love others for your grace and for your glory. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, friends, I would love to hear from you. I'd like to know how God is speaking to your heart through the teaching of Revelation TV. And it's very easy to write to me. You can just go on our website at www.revrcw.com. There, click on the prayer request tab and you'll find an online form that will enable you to send me a direct message. Of course, you can send a prayer request, a testimony, or just a word of encouragement to let me know how God is using Revelation TV to minister to you and change your life. Next week, I'm going to continue this life-transforming message on love. So be sure to tune in at this same day and time and on this station. And don't forget, you can always watch me online at revrcw.com. Until next week, may God richly bless you. Goodbye for now.